The opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
All right, welcome back to the show. And thanks for joining us, as always. I say it every week, but I do appreciate it. every time I meet with a listener, whether it's a phone call or whether we meet, and they go, yeah, I listen to your show, and I make sure I don't miss it, and I'm always, it's pretty weird on my side of it, having these conversations with you guys every week, and just can't tell you how flattered and thankful I am. Obviously, all of you probably don't find it that interesting, but for those of you that do, I just thank you very much. And it's been a lot of fun doing this and getting to talk and meet with so many of you. And I got a great show for you planned today. Want to get right into it. As always, don't want to waste a lot of time. We only have an hour, and a lot of interesting stuff going on. We want to talk about. We're going to start with the market update like we do every week, but we want to talk. I think this week gives us a perfect example of what to pay attention to and what not to pay attention to. And so we're gonna talk about fear and what we should be afraid of and what we shouldn't. Okay. We're also going to get into economics, and we're going to have a segment entitled Real Value Added, what that means and why it pertains to your investments. We also want to talk about, and this is going to kind of piggyback with our discussions about fear, but geopolitical risks, what they mean, right? What does that mean to your investing? We're also going to, and I hesitate to say this because, again, for those of you that have listened to the show before, you're probably sitting there going, ah, here he goes again. But we're going to revisit evaluations, the valuation issue, and why it's important, because there's some really good research that we did this week that I want to share with you guys and just to illustrate how important it is. Because if you haven't heard the show before, we are not market timers, okay? A great investor does not know when to get in and when to get out of markets. Getting in is easier because when things are cheap, we buy them, right? But when we're investing, it's not about being in the market when the market's going up and being out of the market when the market goes down. Can it be done once in a while? Yes. As a matter of fact, we did it perfectly in 2008. And I don't say that as much about, it's not a brag, but it's possible. It's impossible to keep doing it. The reasons we did it around 2008, I'll explain them later in the show when we're talking about this. But the reasons we did it in 2008 were entirely different. And you cannot predict markets going up and down, contrary to what so many people believe. You just can't, because markets are driven by sentiment, and sentiment can turn on a dime. Okay, so let's get, without further ado, we'll get to all those topics, but let's get to the market update. Interesting week, right? And we're going to talk about this more when we discuss geopolitical fears. But what's ironic to me about this week is we get this first big pullback. First of all, the market, despite what you've probably heard, and the Dow's hit all-time highs, but remember, we always want to pay attention to the S&P 500 more. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is the one that most people are familiar with, but that measures 30 stocks. Okay, that's it. The S&P 500 measures the top 500 companies in the United States. So it's a much better look at what's really going on, okay? And for the last 14 trading days in a row, the S&P 500 closed at basically the exact same value. It didn't move more than 0.3%, okay? Which is one of only two times in history a run like that's gone on. Just these are odd times we're living in, and you probably don't need me telling you that. And the thing that broke it, ironically, and it's, look, I'm not trying to make light of geopolitical tensions. Again, we're going to get into this later in the show. But people worried about a nuclear war. And I'm not a geopolitical analyst. I do find it a bit bizarre, though, because personally, and I don't want to make anybody angry by saying this, but if you're worried about your finances as it relates to a nuclear war, don't. These are not things we should be concerned about. I mean, truthfully, I'd be willing to bet my house right now that this is all just bluster and nothing's ever going to come of it. Is there a well, yeah, there's always a chance of crazy stuff happening, but these things cannot be allowed to affect what we do, right? Right now, we are looking at a market that is the second longest bull run in history. We have key economic indicators continuing to lose speed. Okay, despite what you hear in the news, I don't know what a lot of these guys are talking about all the times. We got a saying on the show, no opinions, just the facts. When it comes to money, opinions don't work, right? So key economic indicators continuing to lose speed. We've got valuations on many different metrics at all-time highs. We've got revenue growth slowing down with a lot of these companies. Everything looks like we're, you know, very much toward the end of this whole run, okay, both economically and with the markets. And the ironic thing to me is that the only thing that's brought a little bit of fear into this market, and we're just talking about one down day, really, right, is the fear of nuclear war. And it just, it shocks me and it blows me away, the whole part of human psyche that plays in investing. Again, you're looking at a market that is trading at prices and valuations that looking back over history, we've only got two comparisons in terms of how richly valued stocks are right now. And it's 1929, 1999. That doesn't freak anybody out, but they're worried about a nut job in North Korea launching nuclear missiles. That blows my mind. So we're going to get more into this in the geopolitical section, because look, I'm not saying that there can't be negative ramifications and all that kind of stuff, but this is a perfect opportunity to use what we should be afraid of and what we should be paying attention to and what we shouldn't. Okay. So other things going on in the market, you're seeing gold catch a really big bid. Gold's had a really good week. A lot of indicators look really good for gold. Again, we're not traders, but situations like this are exactly why we're fans of people having somewhere between 5-7 upper, you know, the upper band, depending on who you are, maybe 10%. In gold or gold-related assets. I think everybody, whether you like gold or not, everybody can agree that we're living in very abnormal times, right? I mean, we've got Donald Trump in the White House. We've got one of the richest market valuations of all time that happens to coincide with one of the longest runs of the lowest amount of economic growth in the history of the economy. We've got debt as a percentage of GDP at 115%. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And in times like these, you know, it's nice to have an insurance policy, right? And there's many different ways that we can put in, you know, we've talked about safe money before, and there's many different ways that we can build, quote unquote, that insurance policy into a portfolio, but gold can be a great way to do that. And for those of you out there that don't like gold, I've never really understood the sentiment, right? People bash on gold, but if we look at the historical performance of gold, it's hasn't made as much as the stock market, and I would never argue that it would, which is why we don't own more than 5-7% on average. But it's averaged about 6.5% a year over the last 40 years. And it can be wonderful, too, because in times of global stress like this, gold shoots up and it holds our portfolio balances. It's like it's a built-in hedge. It's an insurance policy. Oil continues to be, you know, all over the place. Personally, you know, we're looking at oil right now, with a bit skeptical. There's just a lot of supply of oil, and a lot of that's driven by the fracking technology and things of that nature. But, you know, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, guys, but the thing to continue to watch are the valuations. It's always a tough thing to tell. It's always a tough thing to discuss in the middle of it, because people don't want to hear it and they go, oh, there's another bear. I'm not a bear. I'm not telling you to sell. We go over this every week, but you really need to sit back and look at the valuations, because it's incredible. And if you've been in the market the whole time and you've been a disciplined investor, we talked about this last week on the show, you're not going to find a better time to take some profits, to readjust your plan, make sure that you haven't drifted, make sure you haven't gone from a 70% stock allocation to an 80, which I'm seeing all the time, to reassert the discipline into your approach, because this won't last forever, guys. And we're a lot closer to the end than we are the middle or the beginning. So that's the market update. I mean, other than that, we're going to get into the geopolitical tension side of it, but other than that, not much is going on. Some disappointing earnings results, which again is a little bit of a canary in the coal mine. But, you know, there's not a whole lot to talk about. It's pretty quiet, which is common in August. But I'm really excited and you know, raring to use this Korea situation as an example of what we need to worry about and what we don't. All right, so we'll have that coming up. Great show planned for you. As always, you can give us a call, 866-779-RISK. We do I think we did 5 or 7 of them this week, maybe more. The free risk reviews over the phone where you can talk to me. We'll go over what you currently have in your portfolio and what we would do to change it and send you some ideas. And you can, as always, call in, get our free booklet, which is, it's going to give you a lot of really good economic information to tell you, you know, so you're not just listening to me talk about it. You can see the data for yourself and you can see really what's going on in the economy. Everybody needs to know this, especially those of you that are closer to retirement. You know what you're up against, know what you're facing, know the risks. And the more education we've got, the better decisions we can make. So give us a call. You can also go to knowyourriskradio.com. You can check out all of our different podcasts. You can download some of the information there. And hopefully we'll hear from you. Hopefully we'll have some valuable information on the website that we can share with you. So anyway, stick with us through the break. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
Welcome back. And as always, thanks for joining us. We're going to get a little economic, and hopefully, you know, as we talk about all the time, I'm a data junkie. As the wife refers to me, a finance nerd. But we're going to get a little economic, and hopefully you guys find it interesting. When we're looking at markets, when we're looking at economies, you know, there's an old saying that the stock market is not the economy. And I think a lot of people get that confused. How's the economy doing? They see the market up. Oh, yeah, Things are going great, right? That couldn't be further from the truth. Usually over long periods of time, the stock market and the economy converge and move in the same directions. But they can diverge, and they can diverge for pretty large periods of time. And how do we know whether the economy is doing well or not so well? Well, GDP, gross domestic product, is probably one of the most well-known and widely versed and widely used pieces of terminology, which measures basically the entire output of an economy. There's a lot of things that make GDP not as good of a metric as a lot of people think. But that's really finance nerd stuff, and I'd put you to sleep. I don't want to get sued for putting people to sleep on the road. There's productivity that we look at. But one of the things that we always pay attention to as it relates to looking at an economy and the underlying health of an economy, right? Because that's important. When economies are doing well, companies make profits. Profits drive stock prices. Larry Kudlow. Many of you probably know Larry Kudlow. He always says that profits are the mother's milk of stocks, and he's 100% right. When a company is making good profits and they're growing those profits, even in the midst of a recession, their stock's probably going to do really well, and if it doesn't, you jump in there and buy it with both hands. Okay, that sort of removes the mystery of stock picking. And one of the ways that we look at, so company profits are a really big thing, but one of the things that we also want to take a look at is what drives company profits? What kind of conditions need to be in place for company profits to be doing well? And one of the metrics we pay attention to is called RVA, or real value added. Okay, it's an economic term, and it probably makes your heads, your eyes roll back and go, ugh. But it's really simple, and I think it makes a lot of common sense. Real value added is basically another way of discussing profit, and I'll give you an example. So let's say we own a furniture making company, okay, and we go out and we're going to make a chair, all right, and we go out and we buy $50 worth of wood to make this chair, okay, and let's say it costs us an additional $60 in labor to make that chair, all right. And then let's say it costs us another $15 to ship it. So where are we at? I got to keep track of this here. I'm going to make this too complicated on myself. So we're at $50, $60, $110 plus $15, $125. Because we got to pay the $15, ship it to the retailer, right? And so we're in it now, $125. We sell it for $200. Okay, the real value added in the economy there after all of our costs have been realized is $75. Which is, by the way, a really good margin on chair. But that's what we call real value added. That is value that has been added to the economy. It's your craftsmanship or your ability to build or your warehouse and the equipment that you've built up. You have added that amount of money to the economy. Real value added. And another way, it's not quite as precise, a little bit different metric, but another way to look at it is productivity. When you hear people talking about productivity, this is essentially what they're talking about. They're very similar metrics. But real value added is really interesting because when we look at real value added and we go back to 1948, every time real value added has dipped below 0%, so basically companies are breaking even on what they sell or taking losses, right? And we've got to look at this. There's always going to be companies that are making profits. There are always going to be companies that are taking losses. And we got to add it all up together to get a real picture of the economy, right? Anytime since 1948, the real value added has hit zero or gone below it, that is preceded or led directly into a recession. Okay, every single time. And I'm going to put the chart up on my Twitter feed, which is at KYR Radio. At KYR Radio. That's the Twitter handle. And so you can see the chart. Put out by a friend of mine named Michael Leibowitz, who is a CFA, a chartered financial analyst, and he runs a company called 720 Global. Great company, by the way. If you want really good research, go to them. But we look at real value added going all the way back to 1948, and it's never been wrong, right? It's every time it's hit zero or gone below that, we've gone into recession. Well, interestingly enough, and we've been keeping an eye on this, it hit zero at the beginning of 2017, end of 2016, and it's gone below. Now, we're not in a recession. I'm not telling you a recession is happening. What I am telling you is that real value added, which is one of the biggest predictors of company profits, and profits are the main driver of stock prices, that has hit a level that has never before occurred without leading us into recession. Now, there's a lot of other metrics, too. Every single time a two-term president has left office, we've had a recession within 16 months. So those metrics are really measuring up. It really looks like that's where we're going. And I can't tell you, it doesn't look like we're heading there in the next 3 to 4 months or anything like that. But we're definitely getting close to that. Why is that an issue? Well, for every recession that we've had, every single economic blip we've had over the last 35 years, what have we done to combat it? Central banks, well, around the world, but let's focus on our central bank, the Federal Reserve, they've cut rates, right, to stimulate more borrowing, take the acquisition of more debt, stimulate the economy. Well, they're at 1%. They don't really have anywhere to cut. Now, again, I'm not a doomsdayer, not at all. What I'm telling you is that we're not only are things weird, not only are we living in abnormal times, but as we enter recession, which is inevitable, right? We're going to have another recession. It's a matter of time. The interesting thing about it this time is the thing that we've used to lever ourselves out of recession and to get the economy back on track, we're tapped out. Sure, the Fed could drop the Fed funds rate from where it currently is at 1 to 1.2. They could drop it down to zero, but that's not much, right? There's no real relief there. You know, to give you an idea, going into the last recession in 2008, 2009, we went from a Fed funds rate of about 4.5 to 5 to zero, right? A huge drop. And we still went through a nasty recession, the Great Recession. Well, corporate balance sheets are 30% more leveraged than they were in 2007, 2008. Consumers now have, $200 billion, $250 billion, a quarter of $1 trillion more in debt than they were in 2007. The government's got literally double the amount of debt that it had in 2007. And yet we don't have any runway on the interest rate highway that we've used to buoy ourselves and pull us out of recession every single time over the last 35 years. So are we doomsdayers? Am I telling you to sell everything you own and buy gold coin? No. What I'm telling you is that this is the impetus. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm saying that this should be the wake-up call. This information, and go to at KYR Radio and see the chart for yourself. This is real data taken from the Federal Reserve. Okay, we're not making this up. But I want this to be the impetus that whether you call us or whether you call somebody else, make sure you are adhering to a disciplined approach that fits your investment horizon, meaning when you're going to retire and when you need your money. Make sure you're not taking a bath and losing 40 to 50% of your assets right before you go to retire. How many times have we all seen it, right? The guys that had to go back and get another job, or the guys that had to keep working and delay their retirements. And again, we're not telling you, you know, do this and dodge them. We're just saying this is a great time to revisit where you're at and make sure that your portfolio and your investments reflect current economic reality and that you are prepared for, you know, your retirement or whatever else you're investing for. 98% of us is retirement. But make sure your plan is on track. Make sure that the hatches are battened down and you're ready for a storm. Now, I'm not predicting one. I think it's inevitable. Right. And I'd be shocked if we didn't have some kind of big market shock in the next 16 months or some big drop in prices, just playing the odds. Right. And I don't think that's that extreme. And I'm not telling us to, remember, we're not altering our approach. We're revisiting. We're going back to the basics, blocking and tackling and making sure that our investment portfolio reflects both our horizon, our time horizon, when we're going to need that money, and our retirement goals. And if you've been in the market for the last 8 years, phenomenal job. Okay. But you will probably not in your lifetime see a better opportunity to shore things up. Stocks are at record prices. Okay. This is when you need to revisit it. Go back to the drawing board. Make sure that your allocations, maybe your portfolio needs to be rebalanced. Maybe you need to move some things around, but just make sure you're ready. And if it doesn't come, great. Everything you own is going to keep going up in value anyway. But we just see the warning. You got yellow and red blinking lights all over the place. Just be careful. Anyway, I went over my time limit, as always. My producer's sitting there giving me the evil eye here. So we got to get rolling. But as always, guys, you can do that with us. You can do it with me. You can give me a call. I promise you I'm not going to twist your arm and try to get your business. That's not the way we do things. But just make sure you're armed with the information. So you can give us a call at 866-779-RISK. We'll do a 15-minute risk review over the phone, longer if you need it. Most people, we can do it in 15 to 20 minutes, though. And just give you some ideas, some more information. You can also go to knowyourriskradio.com, download some of our information there, check out some of our podcasts, go to our iTunes page and hear us talk more about valuations. I think we're up to 190 different segments now that we've done. And it's a great time to educate yourself. Great time to make sure that you are slotted or you are in position for retirement, that your investment house is in order. So anyway, we got to take a quick break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Got a lot of other really good episodes this week or segments that we want to do. So anyway, you're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great. You'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right. I hope you guys are still with us. Hope I didn't put you all to sleep with the real value added. But if you've heard this show before, you know I've got to do these economic hiatuses or detours. I love what I do. I've just always found the markets and finance just so interesting. There's so many different things to look at and consider. It's like this puzzle that you can never really put together. And I don't want to scare you, you know, meaning that we don't know. I'm just that we don't know how to put it together. We don't know how to look at it, but there's too many variables and there's all this great information. And it's just always been fascinating to me. And hopefully you guys find it interesting as well. So, but let's talk about valuations and returns. Okay. Cause we talk about all the time how we don't time markets, right? And I can't say it enough. Okay, if you're out there, you're a day trader, you're like, well, my buddy, look, take it from somebody that's tried it and had some success at it, but not consistently. You just can't do it, okay? But we did a study this week where we looked at valuations of stocks, okay? And remember, the prices of stocks are different from the valuations, okay? Everybody, when I say valuations, they go, oh, yeah, I know. The Dow's at 22,000. They go, no. That's stock prices. That's not valuations. The Dow could be at 30,000 and it could be dirt cheap, okay? Because when we're talking about valuations, we're talking about if a company is making X amount of dollars in profits, how much are we willing to pay for their stock, right? So we're talking about valuations. Historically, all things, this is a very rudimentary explanation, all things being held equal, if a company is paying it making X amount of profits. Going back 100 years, the historical average of the stock market is we'll pay 16 times earnings for that stock. Okay? Today, we're at 25. And quick math, that's what is that? It's about 50% above average. Okay? And there's another way to look at averages, or excuse me, prices. And it's using a metric we call the Cape-Shiller Index. It was developed by a guy named Robert Shiller, brilliant economist. And basically what he tried to do is, because when you're looking at prices of stocks, of stocks, there can be a lot of noise. And what I mean by that is you can have these short-term blips where profits shoot down, you know, way more than they should over a very short period of time, making stocks look really cheap or really expensive. They can also shoot up for random reasons. And so, like with all other statistics, what we want to do is try to smooth it out to look at a trend line, right? To really get an idea where things are going. And so this guy, Robert Shiller, invented the Cape Index. We've talked about it before on the show. And basically what it does is it smooths out profits and valuations over a 10-year timeline and really gives you an idea of where things have been and what trajectory they're on now. And we compared that over the last 90 years to stock price movements. And we found something really, really interesting. Okay. When you bought stocks, when the Cape-Shiller Index, the valuation metric, was at 6 or less, which hasn't happened a lot of times, but it has happened. Even though the long-run average of the S&P 500, the stock market, is right around 11% a year, if you bought stocks when that Cape-Shiller Index was at 6 or less, your long-term return on those stocks was a little better than 20% a year. Pretty impressive, right? Conversely, if you bought those same stocks when their Cape-Shiller average was at 23 or greater, the long run return on those stocks is about 5%. It's a pretty big difference, huh? Now, the people that look down their nose at these metrics, because you know, you've got these people, right? That no matter what happens, no matter what goes on, they always think the market's going sky high and it's going, you know, it's going to infinity and beyond, as we've said on the show before. And conversely, you've got people that always think the bottom's about ready to drop out, right? They're the chicken littles, the sky's falling. And they may or may not recognize these valuation metrics because they go, oh, it's not a good timing tool. We're not trying to time it, right? We're in finance, we're always trying to play the averages. We're trying to bat for average, right? But think about that. The Cape-Shiller Index, when it's at 6 or below, and if you purchase stocks when it's at 6 or below, your long-term return average over the last 90 years has been 21%, just shy of 21% a year. But if you buy them at 23, it's 5%. Well, where's the Cape-Shiller Index at right now? It's just shy of 31, which just happens to be the third highest reading in history. It's tied for second, 1929 being the other time. And for those of you that don't know your, for those of you that don't know your history, 1929 happened to be the Great Depression, the beginning of the Great Depression, and when the Cape-Shiller Index reached the levels that it's at now, we ended 1929 with an 85% decline in the market. Am I saying that's going to happen? No. Remember, we're not trying to time it. What we're doing is we're building a case and we're looking at all these different pieces of information. And the conclusion we're drawing is that, hey, now's a pretty good time to revisit our plan to make sure that we're staying disciplined to our approach, to rebalance our portfolio, to take another look at things and possibly play things a little on the cautious side. I mean, that only seems to make sense. Those are pretty resounding. I mean, you know, I find those numbers to be pretty compelling. And remember, those numbers are when the Cape-Shiller Index is at 23 or greater, Your long-term return on your stocks is 5%. We're at 31, guys. Okay, and again, this is hard data. I'm not looking at this and coming up with my own conclusions and saying, oh, you know, it's... And I'm not even advocating that we sell everything because we don't time markets. But just like I was urgently telling clients in 2009, guys, close your eyes and buy. We got to buy. We got seriously cheap stocks here. Okay? So in 2009, we were actually getting more aggressive. We weren't violating our long-term plan. We were staying disciplined. But we were stretching out to the aggressive edges of our plans in 2009. Today, it's the exact opposite. We're to the conservative edges of our plans. And why is that? Because we've had a great run. And if prices keep going up, if my clients look at me 10 years from now, and they go, Zach, had we taken a different approach, we could have made a little bit more money. That's a result I can live with. The result I cannot live with is, Zach, because we did your plan, we weren't able to retire, or we weren't able to accomplish our retirement goals, or we had to get another job, or we weren't able to pay for our grandkids' college. And these aren't drastic makeovers, guys. It's just about reining it in a little. Just taking the cautious approach. And if we're wrong, our home keeps going up in value and our investments keep going up in value. And everything's fine. But retirement's the one thing we can't get wrong. We can't be right 80% of the time in retirement planning. Right? You only get one shot. Sort of like my grandfather used to say, you know, you'd always have these perma bears out there like, oh, the world's ending and everything's going to hell in a handbasket. And he'd say, you know, Zachary, you got to be careful when you're betting on the end of the world because it only happens once, so you better be right. And you know, I always think about that because we don't want to bet on the end of the world. That's not what we're doing, but we're just making sure that we're adhering to our disciplined approach. So anyway, we got to get rolling again. Man, these segments go fast. I feel like Darren's lying to me over here. And as always, guys, you can give us a call. You can talk to me directly, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. And give us a call. I love having the interaction. We do not do the high-pressure sales things. Matter of fact, when Dory became a client and Dory sponsored us and endorsed us and all that stuff, he said, now, you know, I want you to do the real sales, you know, your real approach on me because I don't want you out there strong-arming listeners. And I laughed and I just said, it's not the way we do it. So you don't have to worry about that. Hopefully we'll just have a good conversation. And we'll just give you some good information. And if you don't feel like doing that, and you can also give us a call and just request, you know, one of the booklets that we talk about during the breaks. And if nothing else, just read it. Just know what's going on. We've actually got to update. I've been telling listeners we're going to update it and I've just been so swamped, but we got to get on that. Because a lot of the stuff we've got in there, it's actually gotten more drastic, right? We're painting the pictures and prices have continued to go up and valuations have gotten more stretched. But if you get nothing else from this, guys, if you don't end up calling, if you don't end up getting the booklet, whatever, just revisit your investment approach. Make sure that you're staying within your guidelines. Make sure you understand what big market drops would do to your portfolio. Make sure that no matter what happens, you're prepared, okay? It's like, it's the Boy Scout credo, right? Always be prepared. You should apply that to finance. But anyway, are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back to the show. And without further ado, back from his...
Yeah! Let's go. I'm ready to roll. Let's go.
You know, from working with you now, you have a complicated relationship with your listeners. I've heard... I meet these people, and everybody that I meet with, oh, yeah, Dory... But there's a small segment of these people that it's so funny to me. They don't see things the way you do. They don't agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they act annoyed, but I ask, do you ever miss his show? And they go, oh, no, I listen to it every day.
Yeah, yeah, no, you can't you can't not listen.
Yeah. It's fascinating to me. You got people that like you and people that don't. But they still listen. They don't miss the show.
No, I like being their addiction. I'm the monkey on their back.
You're the skeleton of their closet.
Yes, it's
their guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Well, we want to, so getting back into the whole financial thing, where we are now, and I started this show talking, we're living in rarefied air here.
Mm-hmm.
We are now officially, this happened a week and a half ago, the most expensive stock market in history.
Right.
Based on the Warren Buffett yardstick, which you and I have talked a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just, the whole gist of this, and you and I have spoken a lot about this off the air and on the air, and the whole thing that I'm trying to tell people is, look, we don't time markets. We don't know what's going to happen, right? Nobody does,
mm-hmm.
which you would agree with, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, maybe you do.
I I can't believe that the market continued to go up and up and up. I thought I was out of gas. But, I also see the underlying fundamentals that, record profits for American businesses right now. And foreign cash is pouring in to America. And then you got companies like Apple. They're sitting on, $256 billion dollars in cash.
Yeah,
they got $250 billion in cash.
You've been doing your homework.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I stay on top of these things.
I know you do. Yeah. No. There. And what I was trying to explain to the listeners though is that, we don't. Like I said, we're not trying to be binary. We're not trying to say we believe markets going up, markets going down, whatever. But when you see things like this, where everything's great,
mm-hmm.
it's a party, record high valuations, all this kind of stuff. To me, it's a great opportunity to revisit the disciplined approach, right? What are you doing? Why are you doing it? This is not a time to be putting more capital to work or let, right? It's what is your plan?
Have a plan
and
stick with it.
Right.
Yeah. And like my daughters, who my wife and I have really tried to impress upon them the importance of investing in early age and just staying with a plan.
Right.
And they've enjoyed some really good times here since they started investing.
I'd say so.
The last 2-3 years. It'll be interesting when you've never had a bump. It'll be interesting to see how they handle it. And if they, because that's been the big thing. That's what I like, how you deal with your clients. If there's a hiccup that is inevitably going to come, because these things always go in cycles, are they going to be able to, after just seeing a mark that goes up, 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 are they going to be able to stay with the plan, or are they going to panic and do what the undisciplined do? And that is, mark goes down, I'm going to sell everything, then you sell at the bottom. And right now people are exuberant and they might be buying at the top. You just have to have a plan. You stay with it. And I love your approach. That's why I like everything you do.
Well, I should just let you host the show because that's what I'm preaching all the time.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things too, we were talking about this earlier, but adhering to the discipline takes a lot of the emotion out of it. And what I mean by that is if you don't get over exuberant, and I we've talked about this. I'm seeing it every single day where 75, 80-year-old people who have gone from 60% stocks to now all the way up to 85-90%
because
bonds aren't paying. They're completely violating their long-term plans, right? And one of the reasons we do that we advocate that disciplined approach is when you overreact on the upside, you're going to overreact on the downside.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and emotion is, not just in investing, but in life. If you let your decision-making and all the thoughtfulness that you put and the discipline that you put into every aspect of your life, if you let that get overwhelmed by emotion, then you're not making the best decisions all of a sudden. And that's where so many people, and I get it, I understand, That's human nature. But that's why it's nice to have somebody along for your ride who can help you just maintain that disciplined, sensible, and thoughtful approach.
Yeah, well, and I got to tell you, it's especially in the last couple months, it's become harder and harder and less popular because the first thing,
sure,
just in the last couple months, yeah, I've seen a sentiment shift where one of the first things people want to talk about is, hey, what's your hot stock pick?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I went, whoa, hold on, for what?
Yeah,
we don't even have a plan in place. Do I know if it, you know what I mean? It's they're trying to jump past.
Yep.
They're getting caught up in the exuberance of it all.
Sure.
And to be fair to them, that's really been missing in the market through, you know, we've had a spectacular rally for the last 8.5-9 years. But that investor exuberance, that overconfidence really has not been a part of it. But boy, has it showed up in spades in the last 2-3 months.
Yeah. Well, I'm even prone to that because,
sure,
you know, I've feared that the market's overvalued. I put a little bit of my meager portfolio in cash,
yep,
a year or so ago. And you know, I've been thinking, what should I be doing with that?
Yeah.
Am I missing that? But I know I'm not going to let myself be ruled by emotion. And I'm not going to, just because things have been really good on the upside, I'm not going to start, you know, throwing a bunch in right now when my whole reason for being fearful that the market was overvalued, it's even more overvalued today than it was a year ago. When
right.
So, but we're all prone to that. Even if you try to be disciplined, and that's where you got to catch yourself. You got to make sure that you just have a plan.
Yep. And Dory, you've been good at that. I mean, you were executing your own discipline strategy when you and I met.
Yeah.
I mean, you were being pretty.
Yeah, I enjoy it a lot, but I also have loved the ideas, and you know, you just have brought, even to somebody like me who, you know, really enjoys this world that you dwell in, and the challenge of it. Then I like the math side of it,
yeah.
But you know, even for somebody like me who spends a fair amount of time learning about it, you brought in all these ideas and things that I didn't even know about that,
well,
you know, has been really good for me.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
yep.
that.
So, you know, when I do my spots for you during my show, I talk about this because, you know, I have 60 seconds to tell a story about you, but you put together this 12-page complimentary booklet that kind of distills all of your ideas. And, you know, I'd encourage all the listeners on this show, if they haven't done so already, to just get that, and they can see and hear about your plan.
Yeah, well, and I think it's important to point out with the booklet, too. The booklet doesn't cover our entire philosophy.
No.
But it shows one way in which we're trying to think outside the box and, you know, lower the exposure to risk for clients, lower the expenses,
yep,
but still keep them on their plan.
And how do people get this booklet, Zach?
Well, they can call 866-779-RISK, and we will get it to them, and complimentary, no obligations. And like I said, if nothing else, just arm yourself with the information. You talk about it all the time. Educate yourself.
There you go.
Know what's going on.
866-779-RISK.
You got it.
Okay.
All right.
Good stuff, Zach. Thank you, sir.
And thanks for listening. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing: Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great. You'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing: Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right. Hope you guys enjoyed. I always love having Dory in the in the studio. He takes the pressure off. He's a real professional. Anyway, let's get rolling here. Want to talk also today. We talked about the global fears. For those of you that are just joining us, as always, you can go to knowyourriskradio.com. You can see all of our segments. We do a lot of interviews with Dory. He's kind enough to come on the show and kick it around with me. And but we were teasing earlier in the show, we're talking about global fears, right? And I think that's I think it's a perfect opportunity. And maybe we should call this segment Keeping Our Eye on the Ball, right? Rather than Global Fears. Because in the world of investing, and in the world in general, and you all know this, and I realize I'm not bringing you any groundbreaking information here, but anything can happen at any given time. And so I digress a little bit, but let me take you back to a conversation I had with a client. Actually, last night, I was meeting with my clients, Dennis and Sandy, down in Centralia. Great people. They got a beautiful plot of land down there. I love going to their place. They got a trout pond out back. So Dennis go fishing whenever he wants to. Anyway, I love going out there and seeing them. And we were going over, you know, what we were doing. They heard us on the radio and they became a client. And Sandy was talking about how she looked at investing, and she first told me this, and I kind of paused and looked at her, and she said, you know, I kind of see investing sort of like raising chickens. I looked at her with my head kind of cocked sideways, and I went, okay, you got to walk me through that, Sandy. And she said, well, you know, Dennis never really worries about it, but we get coyotes around here from time to time. And when we hear the coyotes, she goes, I always think to myself, you know, it's better to be safe than sorry. Let's get the chickens in the chicken coop and just make sure that, you know, that everything's good. And, you know, they're not as happy. They don't get a free range as much, but, you know, at least they're not getting eaten by a coyote. And she's like, Dennis is more relaxed, but we've also lost a few chickens when we don't follow that protocol. And then she talked about, you know, if you got less chickens, they're laying less eggs. And she goes, you know, just kind of, she goes, you know, we don't want to lock the chickens up forever because we're terrified. We don't just want to run all over the place. But she was kind of using that anecdotally. And I said, you know, that's a pretty good example. And I'm actually going to use that on the radio. Because just like life, just like raising chickens, investing is the same thing. Right? There's times where you want to be more aggressive. Like I was saying, 2009 was a perfect example. And there's times where you want to be more cautious, where we hear the coyotes. And now's one of those times. But it's not one of those times because of everything that's in the news. Oh, North Korea and markets are dropping off nuclear fear. Look, nobody really knows why markets drop. I mean, it probably had something to do with Korea, right? I mean, it coincided. But you shouldn't be worried about a possible nuclear war, guys. Because that possibility exists all the time, whether you know it or not. Whether it gets picked up in the news or not. And I've got a really hard time believing this guy is going to sign up for automatic suicide, launching anything toward anybody. It's just not going to happen. And yet these are the things that people get freaked out about. And yet if the Korean issue is resolved somehow, or it's settled down, or it's tampered down or whatever, oh, that's great. We're off to the races again. You'll probably see markets jump up again. Right? But what... did anything really change? No. And when we're talking about timing markets, when we're talking about fear, these are the things that we're talking about. You know, you can't guard against the unknowns. And these things, you shouldn't get conservative in your portfolio because you're worried about nuclear war with Korea. Now watch them. Now I say that on radio, and now it's part of record, and watch something awful happen. And I'm not laughing and making light of that, so please don't take me serious. But these are not things that change our investment outlook. And it's just odd to me, the things that people are worried about, the things that get the financial news media up. What is this going to do to the markets? And, oh, it's put markets on a down. You know, the stock market's down, what, 1.2% this week? You know what's got me a lot more concerned? Record debt, record government debt, record consumer debt, increasing credit card delinquencies, increasing car loan delinquencies, dropping car prices, dropping car purchases, record homes, record bonds, record stocks, record prices that have not been seen but two times in history, 1999, 1929, and all anybody's talking about in relation to the stock market is Korea. If you want a perfect example of not seeing the forest for the trees, this is it. And I was having a phone call the other day with another client, and he goes, you know, what do you think of this whole Korea situation? And I laughed, and I said, nothing. And I go, this shouldn't alter what we do or how we approach things. It might illustrate why it's a better idea, why it's not a bad idea to have some gold in your portfolio, and why it's not a bad idea to have, you know, not just be quote unquote long and strong all the time. Just you're buying stocks. You never, you know, it emphasizes the need for diversification and balance. That's for sure. But this isn't an investable event. This isn't what we should be paying attention to. We should be looking at stocks just like we look at houses. And I meet with you guys all the time, right? And the vast majority, especially on KTTH, the vast majority of you guys, you knew houses were expensive in 2006, and that's why most of you didn't buy them. I did. I bought a house in 2006. Funny story, worst investment decision I ever made in my life. My wife did not want to live another summer in an apartment. We were paying some ridiculous amount in rent, and we'd get a mortgage for the same price. And I'd been holding out, waiting for a real estate collapse. And I finally capitulated. And literally, looking back on it, I think we bought the house within 45 days of the absolute peak. It was just beautiful. Now, we recouped it because bought my second home in 2010, and people said, wait a second, you're down 30% on the price of your house, and you're buying another house? And the argument at the time was, the only way I'm going to get my money back is buying another one. And everybody kind of looked at me sideways, and ended up being a great call. And I say it not to brag. I say it to illustrate that regardless of what we think, sometimes we don't make good decisions, but the vast majority of us knew that houses were ridiculously expensive in 2006. And most of you didn't do anything and certainly didn't buy a home during that period of time. Right? Conversely, a lot of you that were looking for homes when 2008, 2009 hit, you knew it was a good time to buy houses. Stocks are no different, guys. It's just financial assets. And what I can promise you is that stocks will not stay this expensive. It's just not going to happen. But the reason to sell them, the reason to get conservative, the reason to go back to your original investing plan, rebalance your portfolio, and make sure that your financial house is in order is not to avoid a nuclear war. It's to be disciplined. It's to adhere to the plan, because the plan might be kind of a drawdown or a drawback when markets are going straight up, but it saves us when they go down. And they will go down, guys. This is not the never-ending bull market. I hate to pop your bubble. But anyway, we got to run. Time always goes too short. It always flies. But anyway, as always, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. We'll do a portfolio review. Takes 15, 20 minutes. A risk review. Compare what you're doing with how we're doing it, and give you ideas on how to rebalance the portfolio. You can also go to knowyourriskradio.com. You can listen to all of our other segments on valuations, on global stocks. We've pretty much covered everything. And I love to hear from you. Love to talk to you. But we got to run. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the weather. Man, what's it been like 45 days now without rain? What a run. Anyway, I'm going to be enjoying it too. Until next week, we'll talk to you then. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.